We'll have had about 20, 25 minutes to make his case, and 5 or 10 minutes for discussions and questions. The first presenter is Nisbat Tarenya, who is the head of Department of Religious Studies, Classics and Philosophy, the University of Zimbabwe.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon. I have the pleasure to make this presentation. The title, as reflected there, African Traditional Religion and Women and Children's Rights in Zimbabwe. Much of what I'm going to talk about shall be in a clip that I shall show in my third slide. I have several slides, but the gist of my presentation is related to issues that I will show in the two paragraphs that I will show in the second clip. My presentation is aimed at highlighting some of the issues that are at the heart of the relationship between international human rights ethics and the beliefs and practices that stem from African traditional religion, specifically Shona traditional religion in general. I don't intend that I am going to be representative of all Shona subgroups in Zimbabwe. My approach is to zero on some of the common practices that are shared among the Shona communities in Zimbabwe. So, the central question that I intend to answer is as follows. What are the conflicts that arise between Shona traditional religion and international human rights over equality and freedom of women, and also the status of children? And in relation to women, the issues include matters related to land allocation, inheritance, marriage, and divorce. My main presupposition is that in order for us to engage international human rights with Shona traditional religion, we need to understand first and foremost the background social institution of Shona, particularly the family. It is in this context of family that all issues related to human rights stem. The Shona communities are a patrilineal society which are governed by patriarchy, and as we have heard in other sessions, there is also an underpinning of Ubuntu. And my position regarding Ubuntu in my presentation is that Ubuntu may be conceived as very detrimental in terms of issues related to human rights as pertaining to children and women. So I take a very critical stance on Ubuntu, particularly in its religious underpinnings or religious dimension. For now, if we could try and take a few minutes to scroll down what is in this clip. This is a story that appeared in one of our most popular newspaper. The Sunday Mail is a weekly paper. The issues that are coming from there, there's mention of family, there's mention of a particular traditional religious belief, belief in avenging spirits. There's also mention of law enforcement agent, police, which in any country we think would be part of the custodian of guarding human rights. In terms of the issue of the family, I don't want to pretend that the institution of the family has not changed over the time. But the point is, in some sections of our society, there are people who are still governed, particularly when we move to the most remote rural areas, by the traditional understanding and concept of family. It is not a nuclear family, it is an extended family. In the traditional family, marriage is an arrangement between two families. It is fixed by parents rather than the individuals concerned. And there is a strong inequality between men and women. Women are regarded as the property of their fathers, the property of their husbands, and the property of their brothers. And this inequality extends through to sexual life. In my clip on the PowerPoint, the title is Children Are Supposed to Be Seen and Not Heard. In the traditional sense of the family, in some cases, women are also reduced to the status of children. If we read the story in the clip, one would ask, where or where the mothers, when the girls are being used as payment or appeasement to an avenging spirit. The issue is, already the mothers do not have a claim or right to the children. The children belong to the fathers of the patrilineal family. So, while men need their wives to be mothers of their children, there is a limitation. And this is why in this story we see the girl child being sacrificed. Coming back to the issue of Ubuntu. If a traditional Shona person reads the story that there is resistance in terms of people refusing to make payment to appease an avenging spirit without the sacrifice of a girl child For the Shona traditionalist, it is a deviation from Ubuntu. Because they will say, this case has not been solved through the dictates and the principles of Ubuntu. I am because we are. And the whole issue of sacrificing for the whole community, which becomes detrimental both to the children and the mothers. And the idea behind this is that if we don't appease the avenging spirit, it will come and wreak havoc, not on the daughters' families, but on the families of the sons of that particular family. So the only thing that they can do is to sacrifice the girl child in order to protect the families of the brothers of that particular family. So as a result, we can see that already the principles that we cherish very much in terms of Ubuntu, compassion, perseverance, humility, flies right in the face of the violation of the rights of the girl child. And this is also tied very much to the traditional religious belief in the boy-child preference. If one gives birth to a baby girl, yeah, the male elders will take time to appreciate, because they'll say, okay, they'll be looking forward to the next birth and expect that we'll have somebody who will be able to carry forward with our lineage by marrying people, other girls, and then produce more male children. So this clip also shows that the intervention of the police, this is coming from the fact that in our constitution, the Zimbabwean constitution, particularly the chapter where it talks about national objectives, it has accepted most of the precepts that we find in the articles of the international human rights, particularly articles 3 to 23. Some of them are clearly reflected in the Zimbabwean constitution. One of the issues that the constitution does is to emphasize the right to human dignity. And as long as the Shona communities believe in spirits such as avenging spirits, you will see that in terms of children and sometimes women, they will not be able to be saved by the right to human dignity. Chapter 2, article number 16, also talks about culture, where people are encouraged to promote and preserve the cultural values and practices which enhance human dignity and well-being and equality. And the second aspect in the same chapter of Article 16, the Constitution says people should take measures to ensure the respect of the dignity of traditional institutions. Already there, if what is in the story is part of traditional institution, the family, the chiefs, who are the guardians of morality and many other issues, one wonders what exactly the constitution is trying to defend. At one time, we require the dignity of humanity. On the other, we should take measures to ensure the respect of the dignity of traditional institutions. Further, chapter 17, chapter 2, article 17 talks about gender balance. There is a need to promote full gender balance, take practical measures to ensure that women have access to resources, including land, on the basis of equality with men. The land has been a controversial issue in our country, and an issue which people have tried to grapple with is how women should be able to get access to land. Traditionally, a woman could not own land. If she owns land, maybe she could own it through her husband. Now that we have this constitution, of course, there are developments where people and women, and the majority of them who are single mothers, have been able to access land on their own. But from a traditional point of view, they were not allowed to own property. And this is linked to the issue of the payment of lobola at marriage. These practices have tended to reduce women to a position of subordination. Because whatever they do, like children, they must not be heard, but only seen, because they have no say. When they come into their married families, they are coming in as more or less like foreigners. In Shona, we say mutorwa. When people are discussing crucial issues for their families, they tend to include all the women that have been married into that family. So in terms of gender balance, there is this issue of lobola, which even limits the woman in terms of inheritance when the husband has died. Not only this, in the marriage itself, the purpose of a woman is to produce children. So the primary goal of marriage is reproduction. If a woman fails to produce, it becomes a very bad omen. And this will also end people in consulting diviners and even consulting nuns to find out what that family has done wrong to their ancestors. So we can see that gender imbalance is one of the issues that Shona traditional religion needs to struggle with if it wants to accommodate international human rights ethics. And this is not going to be an easy issue, because, as I said in the beginning, the underpinning principle in a traditional Shona family is patriarchy. And when we talk of patriarchy, it is built on a culture of honor and inequality. There is less a culture of dignity. So already with patriarchy, they are already inbuilt inequality. And these inequalities spills even into the sexual rights of women. We have the HIV and AIDS pandemic. Most Shona women who are still governed by the traditional cultural religious practices do not have control on their sexuality. They cannot just wake up using family planning modern pills. In some cases, they may not even suggest that they want their husbands to use condoms. So as a result, you'd find that even in matters of sexuality, women have no freedom, they have no choice, they have no decisions, they just maybe wait for the husband to make the decisions. And sometimes to the detriment of their well-being and particularly their health. As you can see, in the clip that I've shown, the story, I observed a case where the wife of the young sister of my wife is a police lady, married to a policeman, and she was subjected to domestic violence. She came to our place 3 times with a bruised eye. And remember, we are talking about people who are in the police force. They are the ones who are supposed to guard and implement the Domestic Violence Act, which was constituted in 2007 in Zimbabwe. But here is a police lady who is suffering the beatings of a policeman. The same people who are supposed to protect the rights of children and women. At one point, the sister to my wife came to our place with a bruised eye, and she goes to her sister. The sister asked, what has happened to her eye? What does she say? This is the danger of Ubuntu. She wants to protect the family from which she is married. She wants to protect the position of her parents who took lobola. What does she say? This was an accident. I was fetching firewood. In the process, I mistakenly hit myself in the eye with the log. Then we understood she went to hospital. It happened for a second time. Almost again, bruised in the face. Until she was beaten by the policeman in the presence of the policeman's mother. She came again. I did not converse with her. I just asked her into my car. We went to a central police station, made a report. She was asked to go for medicals. Then it became a police case. So the issue is, as long as we are still tied to this traditional understanding of family, ancestral beliefs, avenging spirits, the extended family, you realize that even if we are in a position, we have been trained how to protect human rights, you do see that there is still a force of religion, cultural beliefs and practices that is still, that are still a stumbling block to a full implementation of human rights ethics from an international perspective of human rights. Of course, the story again shows that something is happening. I don't want to sound romantic, as the story is shown. Some villagers are now standing up and even challenging the traditional practice to which they were part. If you see the last part, how they are coming up with a solution, they are saying, why can't we use beasts in order to appease for the avenging spirit? But from my observations, it is common practice that even if this is solved through this way, the family whose member has murdered another person will still not feel comfortable. They will rather then go back behind the courts and find out whether they should not do something more. So we can see that there are a lot of tensions that emerge when we want to talk about human rights as they pertain to children and women in the Shona religio-cultural context. But this story again already is showing that there's a possibility. People can enter into a deliberative consensus, like saying, instead of sacrificing children, why can't we solve this through payment, through peace? And as you can see, some chiefs who are the custodian of the traditional customs are also involved. This has a lot to do with the education and civic organizations and non-governmental organizations like the Girl Child Network that have managed to carry out a lot of research, conducted seminars in order to mitigate some of these practices. I thank you. I will pick other issues as they come from questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, he overshot his time by 7 minutes. So he will have take 2 or 3 questions, very short questions, please, so that we do not eat into the time of the other presenters. So, please.
Yeah, thanks very much for your exposure of what's happening in the Shona culture. I just want to know the Zimbabwean constitution, to what extent does it come to the aid of the women and children in this regard? Is it sometimes used as a way to transform the circumstances, or is it also a hindrance to the management of these issues? After all, our communities in our region are somewhat tied to our cultural tradition to such a point that normally culture seems to take precedence over the legal instruments that are in operation. And this ties to what our Chief Justice also just mentioned earlier, because I think also the question was, to what extent are these instruments that have been revised and are in operation applicable or meaningfully applied within these circumstances?
Theoretically, they are very good. But already in my presentation, I have read out a contradiction in the same constitution where it is saying, promote and preserve cultural values and practices which enhance human dignity and well-being and equality. In the same constitution, take measures to ensure the respect and dignity of traditional institutions, one of which is the family, the chiefs, and all the other things. So theoretically, there's every protection that we may need for both children and women. And the story that I said about my wife's sister brings the issue that you are raising, the implementation. Even when people go to a civil court, in the case of a girl child who has been raped, some of the mitigatory factors would be, since the man has agreed to marry the underage girl. So there's always this tension of wanting to consider the cultural and religious beliefs and at the same time want to move with what is prescribed in the constitution.
Okay. Let's take the last question in this respect. I saw the hand of Brother George first. Please.
I have 2 questions. One
question is allowed.
Okay, let me go to the second one then. What are the other organizations, humanitarian organizations, like the church? At one time, the Catholic Church was vocal concerning the land issue and the corruption in the country. Has it done anything concerning this issue? What about women's organizations? Have they kept quiet or condoning this type of behavior?
No. There's quite a lot that is happening. Before I came here, I attended a workshop which was jointly organized by the Netherlands and the Canadian embassy. And some of the works that they are doing are projects like this. Let them grow first. They were trying to discuss the issue of early marriage. And we even have the Ministry of Gender. And another organization is the Msasa Project, which specifically deals with women and children's issues. So civic organization, even if you can read from the story, the Girl Child Network, they are doing a lot. And this is why I said we read about some of the chiefs even agreeing to deviate from what they would normally do in a traditional setup.
All right, thank you. I think we have to clap for the presenter.